A very special Christmas gift was given to the historic Homestake Opera House. Executive Director Sarah Carlson joins us to discuss the long-awaited, much-anticipated grand piano. Sarah, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thank you so much.
Well, let's just start out with, where is it at in the process of coming to you? Is it there?
Has it been? It's not here yet. It's in Rapid City. Tomorrow, Friday at 12:30, it will be brought into the theater, and the board of directors and our donors and volunteers are really excited to see that happen.
So let's go back a little bit then to talk about the donation and the kickoff of that. Take us back in history and put it in perspective.
Sure. We've had a great instrument, a baby grand, on stage since about 2005. It was donated. Several people are involved at that time, and we used the heck out of that piano. And all the way up through 2008, with the first community theater in 25 years since a historic theater fire in 1984. And in 2008, we had Fiddler on the Roof, and that brought in about 80 community members for this community theater. And that was kind of a re-energizing time for the Opera House. And that also kicked off, the next 6 years of community theater programming, of doing these shows on our own. And it also included having piano performers, piano concerts. In 2013, unfortunately, during a beautiful Gershwin concert encore, the entire pedal system came off the bottom of the piano. And it was quite an end to a concert, for one. But it also set us on, we embarked on a journey to raise money in parallel with everything else we're raising money for, in the hopes of bringing a true professional concert piano back to the stage.
So, who's participating in that? Who are your donors?
Sure. It was kicked off by the Black Hills Area Community Foundation Quality of Life Initiative. And as we all know, music is part of the quality of our lives. And they kicked that off with a $2,500 donation. And then from there, donors got involved with the project, understanding the need for such a space to have such an instrument. And Matt Batchelder of Batchelder's Plumber Piano in Rapid City also got involved, as did other piano sellers in the area as planners for us, cohorts, advisors. And we came upon the idea that we would like to have a Yamaha for many different reasons. And then just recently, we had a matching donor who encouraged us. When you have those matching dollars, it encourages others to give. And we made our goal this year, and we were able to purchase that instrument on Christmas. Hmm. And the family of Don Perdue, he is from Rapid City and was inspired in the theater last year in 2014 during the Black Hills Cowboy Christmas concert, which is a popular event,
right,
and saw the need for that instrument.
And so why a Yamaha, and where is it coming from?
It's coming from California, and we chose a Yamaha just based on all of the referrals that we had from climate change. And I'm no piano expert by any stretch of imagination, but it was something that was told. The Yamaha Grand Piano is extraordinary. They're reliable. They're durable. We had seven interviews or so with pianists who would be playing the instrument, who have played several different types and brands of pianos. And this series is a new series, a CX series, for its recent improvements in resonance, expressive control. We think that this is something that, we could go bigger. Mm-hmm. We could do grander, I'm sure, but we want something that's reliable and appropriate for our stage.
So tell me about your stage, and where is it going to sit inside there?
Sure. Our stage, 1914 stage, it will be very gently used, I should say stored, in a chamber box, which is also new to me. It is like a piano garage, and it is lockable and climate controlled, and it will live off stage, away from anything that might have any damage to it, of course. And we'll roll it out on a piano dolly that we just purchased, exciting, for all kinds of different reasons. We've got several concerts planned, and just off stage we have an area for the volunteers and the wandering tourists not to enter. So
right.
this will be truly our baby conservatory piano.
And how long do you expect it to last? How long do you expect it to live in the Opera House?
That's a question for those who know how long you can have a piano. The mm-hmm. one we had, it far extended past, I'm sure, its life. This one, we call our next century mm-hmm. grand piano because we truly are entering our next century. And, you know, all of these other organizations, there's another one in Rapid City, the School of Mines and Technology, just purchased the exact same instrument for their music department. And so we know it's a really good choice, and we know it's going to have a long, long life here.
I have a piano that's almost 100 years old in my house, so I totally understand this concept of it's not just, you don't just go out and buy it. They're more complicated than you think. When you got into this, were you surprised at all the nuances of what this instrument is?
You're right, and I've learned a lot. Yeah. I took piano lessons when I was a little kid, up through eighth grade, and I sure wish I would have continued. But we're so lucky to have so many talented and experienced individuals out here, you know, and also with the help of Black Hills State, and also, you know, the School of Mines and Technology, and all of these touring musicians, the South Dakota Arts Council, they've all been influential in our decision.
Mm-hmm. How do you go about getting buy-in from the regular citizen who sees the price tag and thinks, you know, doesn't quite understand all those nuances?
Yeah, that's a really good thing to mention. When you talk about the length of life of something like that, and it is a big price tag, you know, a $65,000 asset to your theater. If you've ever worked with an out-of-country musician who is traveling all the way to your town to play an instrument, and they get there and they realize that the instrument, which is their tool mm-hmm. for their music, is not up to speed, is not up to par, that's a hard thing to deal with. And that's what we've dealt with for the last 2 or 3 years, ever since the other piano, which at that time needed upgrades. You know, if you want to do things professionally and the right way, you have to have the right tools.
And that community will talk to each other and let each other know what your instrument is like as well.
That's right. We're already able to talk about our acoustics, and we have performers who come back for that reason. And there's a sweet spot in the theater that people fight over the seats, of course. But what's neat is that the piano itself is a draw. You know, and we also are in partnership with the Leith Deadwood Arts Council. They have piano lessons, and the Sturgis Center for the Arts brings in those students here as well. And so this is just another step in the right direction for both education, for entertainment, for performing arts and cultural opportunities, and for our stage renovation. It's all hand in hand.
All part of the process. Tell me how you're going to celebrate the installation of this Yamaha Grand Piano.
Well, I hope that you're able to attend. It's coming up very shortly here. It's Saturday, January 16th, an afternoon concert, and that involves five performers and more. This is the first concert we'll have with this instrument on our stage, and it is truly a celebration. All of the donors, there's about 50 donors who have given to this, including the Leith High School class of 1964. And a couple of our past piano performers, Nina McIntyre, Paul Vandevelde, Dean Peterson, and Ruth Grenevelde, are local, and also Nina's from Texas. They're all part of this, although they won't be able to attend, some of them. It is January 16th, Saturday at 2 p.m., and we're going to show the acoustics, we're going to show the sound, and it's going to be a really neat event.
I'm guessing the installation itself is closed to the public. Are you going to photograph that and share what that process is like? That can't be any small feat.
You are right. Such an instrument coming in through the doors in itself is a media attention event. And so we have invited our donors. The public is invited to attend if they'd like. We are going to have a mini performance. And what is also special about tomorrow is we have our matching donor and his some of his family members to attend as well. And we'll have the media there. And what's also special about tomorrow is it's almost as exciting as having a piece of the theater restored.
Hmm. And what comes next for the theater itself after this rather large project wraps up? What are you looking forward to?
We're already looking forward to the grand opening of the Interpretive Center. And when you say that, you think, what is it interpreting? Well, it's interpreting the entire history of the Homestake Opera House from the first brick to present day and in the future. And it is a tool for fundraising. It's a tool for people to understand about the history, this 100-year-old history of a theater built by a gold mine. And that's in the second floor of the building. It's a 2,000-square-foot huge exhibit of the entire history of this place. So it's kind of like getting a tour, but being able to come into the space and see tangible items, large format photography. And all of this is happening while we are starting a capital campaign soon for the renovation of the stage and then the theater.
So how significant is this renovation and this facility to the city of Lead and the people there?
How important is it?
Yeah.
I'll tell you...
How key is it to your identity as a community?
Homestake, this is a company town long, long ago. Homestake built a gold mine. Homestake built this theater for the citizens of Lead and their mining employees as incentive to come to Lead and work as a reward for their hard work. You know, this was the hit of the Black Hills. The Opera House and Recreation Center. Imagine in 1914 a heated indoor swimming pool under a theater, and there's bowling alley and a billiard hall. And I mean, that was unheard of. And what a reward, what a treasure to have in this town. And it continues. It continues on. We had 81 performances in 2015, 81, which is that's a record for us. And alongside that, we had 7 weddings, 29 bus tours every Monday, May through September. I mean, we have 500 kids that come through for the Lead Field Trip Program with all the other organizations and attractions that we work with. It is thriving. It's growing. It's a story that I hope that people who are hearing this make it a point when they're in the Black Hills to come and stop by, and we'll take you through and show you this. It's an amazing story.
And I was there at the South Dakota Festival of the Books this last year in Deadwood and Lead, and it was glittering that night.
It sure was, yes. And it's really neat to bring in new people, especially that have to do with the humanities. Arts and culture and creativity go hand in hand. And
Sarah Carlson, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's our Dakota Midday for today. We hope that it served you. I'd like to thank our guests, Joe Tai, Aaron Bosch, Tomasz Kubinek, and Sarah Carlson. As always, thank you to Steve Zwemke and Chris Lawfrey.